The United Kingdom and the European Union reach an historic Brexit trade deal.
I'm very pleased to tell you this afternoon that we have completed the biggest trade deal yet, worth £660 billion a year.
And here in the US, dueling moves to change the coronavirus relief bill fail, leaving it in limbo. Plus, how some people are saying good riddance to 2020. It's Thursday, December 24th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The fate of the new coronavirus stimulus package is still uncertain. Republicans today blocked Democrats' effort to pass legislation approving $2,000 checks for Americans. And Democrats blocked a GOP attempt to cut foreign aid. President Trump demanded that lawmakers increase direct payments to Americans after a stimulus package was overwhelmingly approved by Congress earlier this week, with enough support to override a potential veto by the president. Trump left Washington yesterday and is at his Florida residence, Mar-a-Lago, for the holidays. Tennessee and other southern states, including Arkansas and Alabama, are emerging as new coronavirus hotspots. Across the country, more than 228,000 new cases of the virus were reported on Wednesday, up from 195,000 a day earlier. The number of deaths fell slightly, but remained above 3,300, according to Johns Hopkins University. Meanwhile, Moderna said its COVID-19 vaccine should protect against variants of the disease that have emerged in the UK. British researchers say the strain that was found there in September appears to be more contagious, but so far there are no signs that it causes more severe disease. And U.S. stocks ended the week higher in a holiday-shortened trading session today. For the week, the Dow was up 0.1%, the S&P 500 was down 0.2%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.4%. U.S. markets are closed tomorrow for Christmas. Trading resumes on Monday. Coming up after the break, the details of the UK's Brexit trade deal with the European Union. Just ahead of a year-end deadline, the UK and the European Union have reached an agreement on a Brexit trade deal that will guide their future relationship. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the deal ends years of economic uncertainty.
I'm very pleased to tell you this afternoon that we have completed the biggest trade deal yet, worth £660 billion a year, a comprehensive Canada-style free trade deal between the UK and the EU. A deal that will protect jobs across this country. A deal that will allow goods, UK goods and components to be sold without tariffs and without quotas in the EU market. A deal which will, if anything, allow our companies and our exporters to do even more business with our European friends.
The deal comes after months of negotiations following the UK's exit from the European Union in January. Joining me now to talk more about it is Wall Street Journal UK and Brexit editor Stephen Fidler. Hi, Stephen. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Stephen, this deal follows months of talks. It's a big agreement. Tell us more about the key terms of the deal, which covers a really broad range of issues here.
Yeah, it covers everything from trade to security to terrorism, sharing of information on crime databases. It includes traffic regulations, you know, who can drive on whose roads. It includes fishing and who can fish in waters and in the British waters and how much fish they can take out of it. I mean, there's a vast agreement of more than 1,000 pages. The main thing it does is avoid the imposition of tariffs on trade between the two sides for the first time since 1973. And bizarrely, it came down really in the last days to a fight about fishing, which is just a tiny proportion of both economies, about 0.3% of both economies in terms of GDP, but hugely important in places like the UK, but also in France and the Netherlands, Denmark and Spain. And in the end, it came down to a sort of a haggle over the species that could be caught from the waters of the UK, species by species, over the next 5.5 years. So it got down into kind of incredibly detailed negotiation and haggling over very things that were actually, in the end, very small points economically. The broad question was, how much does the UK agree to follow standards and regulations set out by the EU in order to ensure that the UK could get tariff-free access to the market of 440 million people. And in the end, there was a compromise on that. The issue was that the EU didn't want the UK to become a major competitor on its doorstep with free access to the EU markets and be able to undercut it in things like environmental standards, on things like subsidies for companies, on things like labour standards and labour rules. So the UK basically had to accept, in general, a lot of those EU standards as the price it paid to get tariff-free access to the EU. But in general, the UK is now sort of, you know, much freer to settle agreements with other countries, including one it hopes, I think, in coming years with the United States. That's free trade agreements, because in the EU, it's basically locked into and has been locked into the EU's trade arrangements for decades.
So now that a deal has been reached, what will be playing out over the next few weeks?
Well, it has to be ratified. That's the first thing. So the British Parliament has been recalled, I think, for December the 30th to ratify the agreement. It'll do that on one day. European leaders also will have to approve it. That's a fairly foregone conclusion, I think, that both sides, you'll get approval from both sides. It also technically needs the approval of the European Parliament, so that's the EU legislature. That will happen some point in the new year. So on January 1, the agreement will go into place provisionally, and then it will be ratified, presumably at a later date, by the European Parliament. This is a basis for the future relationship of the EU and the UK. They're right next door to each other. They're hugely important to each other in lots of ways. And it's wrong to think of this as being a kind of static thing that's now set in concrete for, you know, the rest of time. It's the start, I think, of a relationship and that will change according to how each side sees their own best interests.
So it sounds like this isn't quite it for Brexit, although a lot of reporting has referred to this as sort of a capstone deal here. What other loose ends need to be tied up?
Well, it is a capstone, really, in the sense that it's, as I said, the major framework for their relationship. There are things that need to be tied up, and these are sort of unilateral in a way. So the EU has to make rulings on the ability of EU firms to share data with the UK. It hasn't done yet. That's a unilateral designation it will make, and we're expecting that to come. There's also some EU declarations to come on allowing financial services firms for the UK to do certain operations inside the EU after January the 1st. So those technical things will follow. It's not going to be, in terms of financial services, anywhere like the relationship that was there before that allowed London essentially to become the capital of EU finance and do some huge percentage of all finance business in the EU, certainly all wholesale finance business. That has gone away. There's already been a drift of capital, a drift of personnel from the City of London to other places in the EU, and that drift is likely to continue.
That's UK and Brexit editor Stephen Fidler. Stephen, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
For our full coverage of the Brexit trade deal, head to WSJ.com. And finally, out with the old, in with the new. That's a familiar New Year's theme that's taking on extra meaning for many this year who are in need of catharsis. Assistant editor Rachel Wolf has more on some of the symbolic ways people are bidding adieu to 2020.
You know, normally we try to bring in the new year, but this year people feel like they can't do that until they exercise the old one because 2020 has been what it is. So people are lighting their 2020 calendars on fire, they're chopping off all their hair, they're performing ritual ceremonies where, you know, they light candles and say affirmations to themselves and really try to acknowledge the things that have gone wrong so that they can draw a line between this past year and the one to come.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week by Trinae Nori and Sam Westren, with help from Keith Collins, Jenny Ang, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Charlie Turner, J.R. Whalen, and Chris Sinsley. A quick programming note, next week, instead of our usual twice-daily episodes, we'll be taking a look at the big changes this year has brought to our lives, our jobs, and society. We'll have a series of conversations with experts in their fields about the effects of this year on the economy, retail, race and diversity, and the state of global democracy. We hope you'll tune in, and as always, thanks for listening.